all with satellite ministry. And he's still reaching out to these nations. He's gone to Indonesia not too long ago. His heart is still to go back to these nations and teach them how to start house churches and teach them the heart seminar and things like that. He wants me to go with him, but we'll wait and see how that works out. Oops, excuse me, Thad.
Okay, well, that's good, yeah. Okay. Always, it's a privilege for me to come here. And first, the first one I saw from Cambridge Christian Center or Cambridge Christian Church was Pastor Hank in Egypt. Well, I read his book, as you know, like I told you this before. I read his book before I met him. And then I met him, came to see you. I still remember what I mean, like you are kind of like family. We are family of God for sure. And I believe, you know, you play with direct and indirect way a good part of what God is doing through me and my wife and my family now, and also Pastor Hank. I actually, one thing I just, why I'm doing all these things, because I found that, you know, church is focused on baptized people, which is great, and do Lord's Supper from time to time was great too. But most of the churches forgot about the really important and essential command, which is, we can find it in Matthew 28 and also Mark 16, when Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." When I read that, I see, like, you know, I raised on a church. It was big church, big size church. Pastor Hank preached in this church in my village. And what we do, we just, you know, you preach to the core, to the people every time, but there is no actually reaching out to the people outside of the church. Then I found it's missing here. We missed what Jesus commanded us to reach out to people, to preach the gospel to all nations, not just your neighbor or your family, to all nations. And even Jesus, he can reach out to all nations without even say a word, because he has all authority. But to teach us, he made a divine strategy, which is to make disciples. It's not only tell people, and we had course in Egypt, it's called correspondent courses, to teach the lesson, and everyone teaches a lesson before he gets the next lesson. But here, making disciples was a different way. This is, I learned from the Bible a lot, or I can say everything I learned from the Bible. And I see it is very important to think with this way and to put it in practice. It's not only reading it. And one thing I remember when I was a child, I had a Muslim friend. You know, Pastor Hank visited my parents' house. My parents' house was the only house in the area, is Christian house. All people around us were Muslim. For that, I played soccer was Muslim, played everything was Muslim. Like, you know, even there was a Christian team and Muslim team. I was in Muslim team against Christian team playing soccer because they divided to the area, geographic area. And one time this person, he came to the church with me. The elder of the church told me, if you bring him again, I will not allow you to come into the church, you and him. I don't blame my elder in that time because of the fear. Because if his family know about that, they will come to destroy the church. Well, I was a child. I didn't care about anything. Just person who likes to come to the church, comes to the church. This person, he still memorized some songs and some things from the Bible. What I mean, this is the fear that also make us to just be comfortable in a nice place like that. We surrounded with four walls and God door with security. We try to protect ourselves. And we don't know that we can die any time without reason. Remember the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt? The president of Egypt in 2013 was a Muslim Brotherhood. Just last week, he was in the court because they judged him. And he asked it to speak for 5 minutes, and they gave him to speak for 5 minutes. He spoke, and after he finished, he dropped dead. He was like speaking, all the people saw that. What I mean here, sometimes we fear of death. Maybe here in Canada, we fear of, maybe I change my job, I lose my job, but the people on the world to believe in Christ, they face death, literally. And Pastor Hank asked me to speak about Egypt, what is the situation in Egypt. I can compare between the situation in Egypt when we were there and when our President Mubarak was there, and we considered him in that time, he was the worst president. But nowadays, if we have a choice, we like to have him back. Because, the person who came after him, he was Muslim Brotherhood. He gave Christian hard time, more hard time. And then after a year, they removed him. And we thought, oh, this is good. Because now we have a new one, a new president. He seems nice. He speaks nice. He talks about like he doesn't care about religion and all this stuff. And he gave the speech to the world that he is actually a Christian. And there is no difference between Christian and Muslims. And he even tell people, he gave permission to build the largest Coptic Orthodox church in the world. But they build it in the place that nobody's there. But he built it to show the world what I'm doing. But the church is in the village, which people there, they can't go and pray and the Muslim go and destroy it and nobody arrested. They arrest a Christian, not Muslims. This is the situation now in Egypt. I had a TV program couple weeks ago, and the program just answer the questions that Al-Azhar Imam gives them against Christianity in his speech, and he lied. I just answered that. Always my family, my brothers in Egypt, I all said, this is what my speech will threaten you. They said, no, just go ahead, don't worry. But after that, all the village came against them. And they started to, my brother told me, if you can just a little bit do another subject this time, because everybody now, they really get mad of what you are doing. And I believe this is, you know, this is the devil who try to stop us from what we are doing. This is, but still, you know, people believe in God. You know, God did a lot through us. So house meetings, like I can just tell you one thing. House meeting, I went as a Pastor Hank and myself, went as a village before I become pastor to this village. And this village was 30,000 people, they call themselves Christian, lives in this village. The village has had 6 churches. 2 of them Presbyterian churches, 1 of them open, another closed, and 1 Catholic, and 1 Coptic Orthodox, then 2 Evangelical, 2 Presbyterian, and 1 Catholic, 1 Coptic Orthodox, 1 Baptist, and 1 Pentecostal church. 6 churches in the village. I said, say that every church has 500 people. Time is 6, then it just 3,000 people goes to the churches. What about the 27? When I became a pastor of this church, I started to, it wasn't my plan, to be honest. It was God's plan, actually. Because what I did, I went the first time to preach in this church, and I had a member in the church. And the member in the church has a brother. He's a deacon in Coptic Orthodox Church. Before I went this church, Isaiah, the previous pastor, he speak against Coptic Church, and Coptic Church speak against him. For that, every Sunday, and this church was horn. All the villages hear what you say inside of the church. They have a horn, and the horn, everybody actually hear. For that, Coptic people hear the evangelical pastor, what he will say against us. And then the evangelical people hear the priest, Coptic priest, what he will say against us. Right? This war continued for, I believe, all the time of this Presbyterian pastor. Then when I went there the first time for me, they sent the deacon, the Coptic Orthodox Church, sent the deacon to be inside the church to know what the new pastor will going to say. He is going to continue this war, this fight or not. Then his brother, that he's a member in my church, came to me. He told me, by the way, my brother is a deacon in Coptic Orthodox Church, and he come to hear you this morning. He's welcome. But I changed my sermon. I do that all the time. And then my sermon, I spoke about Saint Mary. I said, what Saint Mary can teach us, or what we can learn from her life. Then I talk, I will not preach the same sermon, but what I said, when the angel came to her and told her, you will have a baby, and she doesn't have man, she didn't have husband, she said, how can this be? I have no man. Then I said, the first lesson, when God gave you a message or gave you a command and you don't understand, don't refuse, just obey. Just ask. She asked it, how this can be. And then after she asked it, the angel explained to her. And after she understood the second lesson, she obeyed and she said, I am the servant of the Lord. The third one, because she have the Holy One in her womb, she didn't say, I am better than anybody else. But she put herself among those who need salvation. You know, Coptic Orthodox don't believe that Mary needs salvation. She's the mother of God. If you say it needs salvation, this is against their doctrine. But I said it with another way. Like, she put herself, she was humble, and she put herself among those who need salvation, and she called her son, Jesus Christ, my Savior. And the fourth lesson, and this is also again against the Coptic Orthodox doctrine. I said, in the wedding of Cana, when the people came to her and said, we have no more wine, and she led them to Jesus. And she told them, whatever I tell you to do, do it. And she just turned people to have direct relationship with Jesus, not with her. The true saint led people to Jesus. The Satan led people to himself. For that Mary was a true saint, not a Satan. That's why she turned people to Jesus. You know, all what I said against Coptic Orthodox doctrine. It's actually, they know that she's intercede. You can't pray to God except through her. And after I finished, he came to me. He said, this is a wonderful teaching that I ever heard about Mary, the deacon. Said, oh, can you come to my place? We can have a house meeting. And house meeting, I thought like house meeting, I go to do kind of Bible study with the family. But I went there, all the street came. And this was the first house meeting, and it stood fight. You know, we can say the truth was different way. We can say the truth to hurt each other. We can say the truth to let the people see it. And this is even I do it with Muslims, how to let people to see by themselves. This is the truth, to find it by themselves. There is many ways, but I'm just telling you how we started the house meeting. And then in the end of the second year, for me and Pastor in Isaiah, we had 100 house meeting. Pastor Hank went with me to those house meeting. The smallest one was 20. The largest one was 100 people. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. For that, this is how God made this concept grow. And then we started to apply to different places, different churches, and we started to do corresponding courses. Actually, every time we can increase. The only thing, just, you know, sometimes, you know, you like to increase, but you always work with the budget that you have. For that, I like you to pray for the ministry in Egypt, continue to pray for this, continue to pray for people, because it's not easy. It's more danger than when I was there. It's more danger than what I was there. Wafa went to Egypt last year, Wafa? 2017, she went there. Well, actually, she visited most of these people to encourage them because they need encouragement. Try to help Zabur as they can. You know, God bless us with, like, churches support us here to live here, but also we always participate in this with what we can, like what we can as a family to put towards that, because we like the ministry to continue. You know, Pastor Hank maybe tell you something, there's some support doesn't come anymore now for that, but we always say, no, we will continue, doesn't matter what. But I appreciate your prayer, and everything you do here. But also I'd like to show you, because of what happened in Egypt, and I had to come here. The first year for me, it was between here and Egypt. And it was really the hardest time, because I come to Canada, most likely I do just a little bit here and a little bit there, because I had to go back to Egypt. Pastor Hank knows me. I can't sit at the house, around the house, and do nothing. I had to do, like, I was very active. The earliest time I go to my home, it's midnight when I was in Egypt. I come to Canada and Toronto, you know, nobody, actually, most likely nobody, just a few people. It was really boring. But nowadays, I'd like to show you, even I started to become like, you know, God used me like the same time as Egypt, like whenever I never go to bed before midnight again. But, you know, God used a lot of things. I can show you some picture of what is doing here and overseas. It's not only Egypt, but also overseas. And every picture I will tell you something, because God opened many doors. Every picture will tell you a story about the doors that God opened. I can show you now if we can. Amen's away? Okay.
Is that still on? Projector on?
Okay. Is the projector on?
Yes, the projector's on. I never turned it off.
Okay, ah.
So
it does. Yes, still.
It's on.
It's on, yeah. Okay, take your time. Oh, I can continue speaking. Yeah, it's here, started now. Yeah. Do you need my USB again? Okay. Okay, take your time. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, if you want, hand me the.
Okay.